Welcome to North Gates Podcast. We pray you enjoy the teaching of God's Word. May the Holy Spirit encourage, exhort, and comfort you. We invite you to come and see what the Lord is doing at North Gate. Come and grow with us. May you be blessed by the God of hope.
Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. You used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger just like everyone else. But God, verse 4, is so rich in mercy, and He loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, He gave us life when He raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you've been saved. For He raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of His grace and kindness towards us, as shown in all that He has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. Verse 8, God saved you by His grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things you have done, so none of us can boast about it, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. Lord, would you bless the reading of your word? This is a very famous passage. You've probably heard many sermons on it. It is a beautiful passage, and once again, Doug did cover the first few verses. But as I read this and we're thinking of Ephesians and Paul's letter, we know these first two chapters are very theological in nature, putting us in the understanding of the right position we have with Christ as we believe in Him. But as I was thinking about this, how do I live this passage out practically each and every day? And as I read it over and over again, I had the sense and understanding that we are to live the Christian life in the victory that Christ has given us. Amen? Really important. As we know these first four verses, we were lost. There is a spiritual battle. And if you don't believe there's a spiritual battle, I would encourage you to read chapter 2 again. Because it talks about the commander of the power of the unseen world, that being the devil. And if we're not obeying or trusting in Jesus, there's only one other that we're obeying. And the devil has created this system within the world. And he tries to control people that they can live in sin. But God would have something much different for us. But God. These words are so rich. He's so full of mercy. He's loved us. He's given us life. We were dead, but now our spirits are alive. That grace that has appeared is Jesus Himself. He died and rose again. And now He has seated us in the heavenly realms, our spirit, with Him. Romans chapter 6 verse 4 says, therefore we were buried in him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. What it's talking about very clearly is we need to be born again. Not physically, but spiritually. Because our spirits were dead because of sin. But they can come alive through the work of Jesus Christ. There's a real battle. But we don't have to battle from the earth. Because here, practically in understanding this and putting it forth, you, as a believer in Jesus Christ, are sitting in the heavenly realms. Now, that's where I got a little stuck practically. It sounds a little puffy, cloudy. How do I live out the reality that I'm alive in Christ and I'm sitting in heavenly realms or places? Thought about that a lot. What does that look like? Because a lot of times, I don't feel like I'm sitting in heavenly realms. What about you? Are you feeling the heavenly realms sometimes? Well, think back to this week. Think back to the hard, the ugly. Think back to when people hurt you. Think back to relationships with children and struggles and parents. Think back to work and all that happened. How about this? Think about all the junk this week, this month, this year, and how you're supernaturally living above your flesh. How's it going, sitting in the heavenly realms? How do we practically live what this says? Because there's something that we are to live supernaturally above the attacks of the devil and the works of our flesh. That we have this ability to know we are dead to those things because we're alive to Christ. That's what he's saying. Kenneth Wiest, who's a Greek scholar, translated it like this. By grace, you've been saved completely in past time, with the result that you are in the state of salvation, which persists through present time. And you are raised with him and seated with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. God, how? Help us to understand how this way of thinking and living, the reality of who we are, changes how we handle the battle. I love, and it was funny, when you're planning a sermon, you get little confirmations this morning. I had this story and verse and this thought in my mind, and in our prayer time, Gail mentioned it just out of the blue this morning at 9:30. And she mentioned this verse, and I'm like, this is not a common verse. So I know this is for us this morning. Have you, put it this way, in the midst of the battle, have you ever been tired when the wicked prosper? And asked, why is this going on? Maybe not even personally, on a world scale, on a minor scale, medium scale, big scale. Why does it seem this system, let's put it that way, of the world is prospering and when everything else is hard? And why, man, you're not alone, because Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, said the same thing in Jeremiah chapter 12. Why? God, why is this happening in the time when his nation was disobeying and attacking him? He's called the weeping prophet for a reason. Because Jeremiah didn't have a lot go right for him. He got punished for speaking God's word. And the wicked around him seemed to prosper. And he says, why, God? And God responds to him in verse 5 of chapter 12. If you or running with the footmen has wearied you, how then are you going to contend with horses? Okay, God, I'm really tired. This world, the battle, my real enemy, the devil, the commander. It's, by the way, it's not people. We love to get angry at people. It's not people, right? It's the devil. It's the system working within people. And there's a lot of junk that happens in this world and evil. And we're like, oh, I'm just so tired. I'm so weary. And then God says to you, well, if you're tired now, how are you going to live supernaturally when things get worse? Whoa. What an incredible thought. That God's plan for us in the midst of evil is not only to survive, but it is to thrive. That you supernaturally, through the power of understanding what Christ has done for you, is to not only live in the battle, it's to live above the battle. How do we contend? How can we supernaturally live righteous in an evil world? And I will tell you, it is not in our own strength. You see, Isaiah faced the same problem in Isaiah chapter 40. He was very tired in a very popular or well-known verse. He points to God and looks at God as the creator of the ends of the earth, who neither grows faint nor weary. He then states he gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases their strength. In the midst of the evilness of the commander of the spiritual work that is going on, it is clearly stated by Isaiah that he wants to give you strength. Like Jeremiah, to run with the horses, Isaiah is going to say to fly with the eagles. And who is it for? It is for those who wait on the Lord, or in some translations, for those who hope in the Lord. They shall renew their strength. They shall mount up like eagles. They shall run and not be faint. How does that work? It is simply understanding what Paul is saying to the Ephesians, that we have been saved, changed, made alive to be in a constant relationship in heavenly places, to understand who we are, and God does the rest. But don't we have to work harder? Don't we have to train to run faster? Do we have to jump off a building to realize we can fly like eagles? No. What you need to do in John 15 is abide in the vine and the truth of who you are. You need to be raised as you are in your mind and your spirit from the dead, knowing you're with Christ and you sit with Him in heavenly places, and you have all authority in prayer, in truth, to live in righteousness, not in evil. The world is getting darker, and the battle is revving up. But as we abide in Christ, we can arise and shine, for our light, which is Christ, and His glory lives within us. And how do you know this? You have to get to the place to be and understand that His presence lives in you. That you have access 24/7 to the power, the authority, and the mercy and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And these words, though they're on a page and seem like theology, practically, as we understand and live in that place, change our behavior. behavior. So when I get revved up in emotion, when I get angry when people hurt me, I can take higher ground, the heavenly place, because Jesus is there and he has conquered evil. And even take it a step further as he intercedes for us in the midst of evil. Knowing who I am, I can intercede for the ones who hurt me through the power of Christ. Heavenly places, by the way, just a little note for Thanksgiving. What are they doing in heaven right now in the heavenly places? Are they worried about what's going on in this world? Are they worried about problems? Economic ones? You think God's up there worried about war? You know what they're doing? Read Revelations 4 and 5 in the heavenly places. It's what we did this morning. They're praising and worshiping. God, you are holy. God, you are above all this. God, no matter my problem, I'm going to worship you. God, you are everything. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. He is the Creator. And I can sit with him and praise him and worship him above all the junk, the darkness. Because that is what they're doing in eternity. And I want to sit with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This is a mindset that changes everything. Practically, just one last example I like to use is Enoch. You know, Enoch, we say, oh, he lived back and he was no more. You might know the story in Genesis. He had a child and it says he walked with God and he was no more. We think one of two people, Elijah, who just got raptured out of this before the actual rapture. It just says he was no more. He was in the old, I think King James, translated. And I've always been taught to think that Enoch lived in such a way that he was living like heaven on earth. And God just said, come on up here, because you're living that way. And by the way, oh, it must have been easy. It was so close. There was no evil back then. You know that Enoch was only a generation and a bit away from the flood. Where evil was on man's heart continually. Think about that. And yet Enoch lived in such a heavenly way, knowing, walking, fellowshipping with God, that God said, come on, just come on up. He lived in such a way. What we're talking about today, understanding this truth that heaven invaded his life here, that understanding of sitting and being in heavenly places invaded his earthly life to live different. As I say, not to be the yo-yo with life, but to say, hey man, I am living above this, not in my strength or my power, but I'm running with the horses, flying with the eagles because of what Christ has done. Remember very clearly in Ephesians, it's not our work. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. So no one can be, oh, you should have seen what I did. I defeated the devil. Baloney! If you hear a testimony like, I did this and I did that. You know, those are called bragamonies, not testimonies. And oh, yeah, and it was me and the devil, and I got up, and I just like, I rebuked you. No mention of Jesus. You're like, sit down, because this is not of the Lord. See, God gets all the glory because God does all the work, and we just join him because he invites us in his work to be with him. Every other spiritual religious thing is about what you can do to earn something in the spiritual realm. That's not Christianity. Christianity is what Christ has done to invite us into the spiritual realm. And so when you're looking at all these different religions and thoughts, what is it? Is it about what I do or no? What Christ has done. And you know the release in you? Because then if you blow it, you're like, I'm not entering nirvana. I'm not good enough. Well, Christianity says, no, you're not. But Christ is. And in his grace and his amazing mercy says, come up with me. I love you so much. Come, I want to be you to be in my presence. And in his presence is full power, full authority, and in his presence is the fullness of joy. I was thinking Revelation chapter 12, the fight against evil is talked about, and there's three ways, and I'm sure you've heard it before, to fight the devil. It's the blood of the Lamb. I'll just stop there. That's Ephesians 2, the sacrifice of Christ to make you alive and defeat evil. It's not I go fight, it's the battle's won. Amazing. And as you see that as the beginning place, everything changes. But after that, I love it because in Revelation, how to fight the devil, it's God's work. But then it says our testimony. Well, what does that mean then if God did all the work? It says right here in Ephesians. Are you ready? I teach chapel at CCA once a month, the Christian school, and I bring a bag in. It's usually my knapsack, but I'm trying to act all, like, intellectual here, which I'm not, by the way. This is my dad's bag. I found it in the garage at the cottage, so I've been using it. But I was bringing a bag in. This week I went in, and I forgot my bag, and one of the little kids was like, Mr. Schilke, where's your bag? Because all we care about is the lesson. I was so encouraged. He remembered a chapel from 2 years ago, and he was like 7 years old. He was like, remember you played I Spy with us? And you were wearing your white shoes and we all guessed the wall and everything and then finally you had to tell us it was your shoes. I don't remember the spiritual lesson, but you had nice shoes. But I was like, oh, you remembered. This is so great. I should bring you to Northgate. This is awesome. Anyway, so I brought my bag a little object lesson to this point. This idea of testimony, because it says here, like, God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness. You know what? It's like you're in court. Is God a gracious person? Exhibit A, Daniel Schilke, because he is a retard. So by the way, if you... I shouldn't use that word. It's freaking me. He is a failure at times. And I think we all can interject our name. I didn't mean to in any offensive way, sorry. But I blow it. But as I blow it, God says, exhibit A, because I rescued him with my grace and love. It's almost like... Yes, Buzz, are you looking at this? This is a golf trophy. It seems I've won the last 2 years in our family golf tournament. How about that? A bragamony. Sit down, Daniel. You are God's trophy. Do you understand that? See, this isn't about, oh, the trophy's so great. This is about the person who won the trophy. Do you understand? Like the Stanley Cup or all those things. It's not the cup. It's like we worked hard and we won. God won you. And forever, we could put Daniel Schilke's state. I rescued him. I brought him victory. I won him with my grace and kindness. For ages upon ages, God can point to us, evil, failures, and say, look what I did. Look what I did. And the devil's like, oh God, you're not good enough. Oh yeah, look how I saved through my grace, my work, so and so. And so whenever, it's so great in a testimony, and I love this, in youth group, it's so interesting, once a month we're having a testimony, and we bring people in the youth size, we're like, wow, they hear the stories of the brokenness and the pain from those maybe they never expected. And what is it? It's a trophy of God's grace. I am a trophy because I couldn't do it myself. I am nothing. I'm a piece of wood, but I come alive and I point to the victor and God has done it. I am his masterpiece. Isn't that in the passage? I'm explaining it for you. Well, actually, masterpiece... The word is poema, and I'm sure you've heard that. You are his master poem. And we can say, you are his master work of art. You are exhibit A. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you are changed. You are alive. And the hardest miracle of all is to change people from death to life. And God did it in your spirit. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, and if you're not, I'm going to be honest, whether you think you're going the right way or not, actually, you're under the control of the system of this world, which is the commander, the devil, and he wants to destroy you, and he wants to cause you pain. But God says to you, it doesn't have to be that way. I have so much more for you. I can bring you life. You are destined to be my work of art. Sometimes we only look at our failure. Sometimes people only point out our failure. But we live above in the heavenly realm, seeing we are God's masterpiece, that his grace and his mercy are all over us, no matter what anyone says. No matter what I think about myself, no matter what you think of me, I can point to God and you can show me my mistakes, but I can point to his grace and say, it's only God in me. But it doesn't stop there. You see, you're this beautiful masterpiece and he's made you anew in Christ Jesus. So you can do good things. Not only good things, it says in verse 10, but they've been planned long ago. Have you ever looked back in a moment as a Christian and you get through an experience and God uses you in a way that you never expected and you almost get emotionally engaged thinking about how did that happen? That wasn't me. Well, no, it wasn't. It was a work that God created for you long ago and he says, come walk in it. And so that's when people say, wow, that was great. Way to go. We grab the encouragement and we give the glory to God. And each of you are unique today. And each of you are special. And my good works aren't your good works. So you don't have to look at me and say, oh, I want to be like so-and-so or like this. Not obviously, we want to encourage each other in the way we live. But God's call for you is specific to the work of art that you are. And he has special works just for you. Planned long ago. And he says, walk, come walk with me in what I've created you to be. Each of you has a role and a purpose as God's creation, his masterpiece. And he has all these things planned where you can be so fulfilled and be used for him. You know, I talk to young people, they say, I just want a job where I have purpose. Talk to sometimes my boys, I just want something that's fulfilling. I just don't want to do the same thing over and over. That's the cry of all of our heart, and it's answered here in Ephesians, that God has that plan for you to have purpose and meaning. And he says, come, walk with me. There are times I just remembered, I have a privilege of speaking at a conference, and I remember they had a card at the start of the conference. Why are you here? I was giving a message at the conference, and I was listening to the Holy Spirit, and it was so clear. I prepared you for this moment to give you this teaching. And you say, that's arrogant. And I say, no, it's not. Because he prepared the moment. He prepared me. It was all about how failure I can have strength in him. My life had prepared me to speak in that moment, and God was going to work. And he has those moments for you and I if we will choose in faith to walk in them. Because he says, you're in these heavenly places. You have victory over flesh. Don't fight the flesh with the flesh. Don't fight human battles in human ways. Fight with the cross. Fight with who you are. Fight with your position. It's not it's calm. I know who I am. I don't got to get rattled. I don't got to get angry. I can live in who I am, who God's made me. And I am his trophy. And he has this work planned for me to defeat the devil. It's the blood of the Lamb. It's the word of our testimony. And we do not hold our lives dearly to ourselves. It's not the direction I want to go. It's the direction he's prepared for me. And then I walk in it. Do you see it? Because we want, oh, I want it, I want it. I'm going this way. And God's like, oh, da, 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 da. Let's go my way. Let's go my way. And this morning, he's calling each of us. He's calling you as his masterpiece to his good works. Will you walk in them, sitting in the heavenly places? Amen? That's a lot to chew on for me this week, and that's enough for now. Amen? Mike, I'm looking at you because you said, I'm going to close. It's going to be another 12 minutes. I'm done. Thank you, Lord. All praise and glory to Jesus. Didn't we sing this morning? You are worthy of it all. Oh, man. Thanksgiving. We confess our failure. And we simply glorify the Lord Jesus Christ in this place. It is his grace that has saved us. We have done nothing in ourselves. And we give you praise this morning. And this morning, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, maybe you know religion, maybe you go to church, maybe you know of God, maybe you think God's a good idea. Can I tell you, he wants a personal relationship with you? He wants to break the devil's yoke on your life. He wants to set you free for the purposes he has for you. This is real. And you can do simply by believing and confessing who Jesus is, that he died and rose again. Would you do that? It's no fun. Sin is pleasurable for a season, but it causes shame and pain and hurt. Let me tell you one thing. The devil wants to lead you away through the system of a world, through the belief of the world. That sounds really great, but it's going to punish you in this world and the next. You will be miserable. But God has life and life abundant for you and for me. So we confess, we turn, we repent, and we believe and trust. Praise God. God is so good. He has so much hope for each one in this room. He has so many good things for you. So many adventures of faith to walk in his ways. This morning we are going to take communion and give God thanks. May this be the Thanksgiving communion, where we just praise Jesus for what he's done to break the yoke of evil. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Your love endures forever. Your mercy is everlasting. You are faithful and good. And in this place, we will worship you. If you need prayer for anything, the elders, Amy will be in the back. We'd love to pray for you. But let's just celebrate and give thanks for who Jesus is and what he has for you today. Amen.
Thanks for listening. If you want any information about our church, check us out at northgateministry.com. If you'd like to listen to more teachings, you can listen at YouTube at Northgate Ministry.